Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A few years ago, the Christian writer Anne Lamott published a book called Help, Thanks, Wow, Three Essential Prayers. What a fantastic title. The title alone provides a nice summary of prayer. We do indeed turn to God in prayer and ask for help in those times of need. We do indeed turn to God and give our thanks to God. And as we ponder the mystery and the majesty of God, sometimes the only appropriate prayer, the only thing left to say is, wow. It's a great title of a book. I also think that these three words, help, thanks, wow, do a nice job of summarizing our gospel reading for today. Help! That's what the lepers needed. The lepers needed help. They had a devastating diagnosis that they were living with. Leprosy was a terrible thing to contract in the ancient world. Not only were there the physical effects of the disease with your withering and decaying hands and other appendages, but as you experienced this terrible disease, you were also cut off from other people, which is equally devastating. In the book of Leviticus, there are whole sections that serve as very strict public health codes, you could call them, that mandate that if you are diagnosed with such an illness, that you were to leave your spouse and your family and your community and your town, and you were to live alone. You could associate with other lepers, but that was it. Otherwise, you had to stay at all times a minimum of 50 feet away from any other human being. The situation for someone who had leprosy was so dire, there was such little hope of restoration to the community, that sometimes families would hold funerals for their loved ones who had contracted the disease even while they were still yet alive. They were as good as dead to the family. Those who had leprosy were also perpetually, and in most cases permanently, considered unclean, which meant that they were banned from any kind of worship service. They were banned from the temple, which meant that they were effectively cut off from God as well. Jesus, in our gospel reading for today, was passing through the region between Samaria and Galilee. This was a place that was literally neither here nor there. It was one of those in-between places that lepers were made to live as they were pushed to the margins for real reasons, right? For public health reasons. The lepers that we meet in our gospel reading, they were keeping their distance from Jesus as the law required, but they shouted out to him from afar. They said, Jesus, Master, or Lord, you could also say there. Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us. In other words, help. And when Jesus saw these 10 lepers, he simply said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And the lepers knew exactly what this meant. As you see, in rare cases where people recovered from leprosy, it was exceedingly rare, but when people did recover from leprosy, or maybe they had been misdiagnosed in the first place, when that happened, there was a process that they could go through to be restored. And the first step in that process was to go and have an examination by the priest. They knew what this meant. And so off they went. And as they went, they were made clean. They were physically healed. And then one of the ten, as we heard, one of the ten turned back. One of the ten knelt down at Jesus' feet. One out of the ten said, thank you. Next comes the wow. In order to get to the wow factor in this story, we need to pay close attention to some very important details. First of all, we need to understand that one person out of the ten that thanked Jesus was a Samaritan. I don't know how much that means to you, but to the ancient Jewish people, Samaritans were traitors. They were the worst kind of neighbors to have. They were traitors to their people. These are formerly Jewish people who had intermarried with their enemies. And as time went on, they adopted some of the customs of their enemies. They even adopted some of the religious practices of their enemies. They were seen as the worst kind of traitor. And because of this betrayal of the God of their ancestors, Jewish people came to believe that Samaritans were beyond the care and attention of God. That these Samaritans, they deserved nothing from God but his wrath for the ways that they had betrayed him. But this is a Samaritan who had been healed. And it is one of these despised Samaritans, the only one of the ten, who turned back and gave thanks and praise to God. Wow, right? That's a wow. But there's another wow in this story. We get a bonus wow this morning. There's another wow here in this story, and it's tucked into the details here even a little bit deeper. Jesus says something specific about what happened to this Samaritan. St. Luke, as he tells the story, he talks about how all ten of them were cleansed. He talks about how all ten of them were healed. They received physical healing, that is. But Jesus says to the Samaritan, because of your faith, you have been made well. This says something much deeper. There's a lot more going on here than just the fact that his skin cleared up and he could go home, as wonderful as that would have been. This despised Samaritan had been made whole. That's how the King James Version translates this little phrase, made well. He had been made whole. We could also say that this Samaritan had been healed and saved. That's how Eugene Peterson translates it in The Message. See, the NRSV that you have in your bulletin, as much as I love that translation, it doesn't really do us any favors in understanding the power of this story this morning. Because something more is happening than the fact that he is being made well. The language there, the words, mean something much deeper. It's the same root word for salvation. So something much deeper is happening to this Samaritan, more than that, just the fact that his skin has cleared up. He has not only been restored to good health, he's not only been restored to human community, he has now been brought into right relationship with God. He has now received salvation in the deepest sense of the word, and it has happened simply through his faith. Wow. Wow. Even Jesus acknowledges how unusual this is. Wow. Help, thanks, wow. It's a nice summary of the story, don't you think? But it doesn't just do that. These three words don't just summarize our story for this morning. They also provide us with a nice summary of the pattern of our lives as Christians here today. We begin most of our worship services, not all the time, not every Sunday, not every season, but most Sundays throughout the church year, we begin our service with the Kyrie. And there's a reason for that. Because every time we sing Kyrie eleison, we are singing the exact same words that the lepers said to Jesus. Kyrie eleison is Greek for Lord, have mercy on us. And we sing these words Sunday after Sunday because we need help. Christians have been singing these words in worship for over 2,000 years because we need help, just like the lepers did. There are times in our lives where we need help from God because we hurt, because we feel the same kind of isolation that they did, because we feel the same kind of hopelessness they did, because we feel the same sense of desperation that they did. So we cry out, Lord, have mercy on us. While leprosy in our own time is blessedly rare, the illness of sin affects all of us. And so we know what it feels like to be alienated from others. We know what it feels like to feel alienated from God. Many Christians begin their worship services just straightforward praise right from the beginning. 20 minutes of praise, 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 praise. I personally am glad to be part of a Christian tradition that still remembers that much of the time the first thing we need to say as we come into God's presence is help. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe you're crying out for help for some problem or struggle or another. Eventually, our cries of help, though, they give way to thank you. It doesn't always come quickly. It comes at its own pace. But eventually, our cries of help give way to thank you, because God is good. God is faithful. Maybe you're still waiting to see that, but it will come. The time will come for you to say thank you. Sometimes we say thanks because God gives us cures. There are things that happen. People are physically healed, sometimes through the care of doctors and nurses, other times through ways that we can't even explain. But even when that doesn't happen, even when we don't get what we want, our cries of help still turn to cries of thanks. I think of my friend, Pastor Deb Benson, over at Anacortes Lutheran Church, who's been struggling with cancer, a devastating diagnosis just about maybe a month ago. There isn't much hope for Deb for a cure, that is. I mean, you always want to, you never know what God has in store, of course, but the medical treatments that she's undergoing now are not to find a cure, necessarily. Pastor Deb has been sharing her experiences. She's been very open about what she's been going through. She's been posting a lot on her Caring Bridge website, kind of a blog that she's been keeping, and I've been following that. And the thing that is coming through for me more than anything else in her deeply honest blogging on her experience is her deep, deep gratitude. Even in the midst of her sickness, Deb is exuberantly thankful. Part of that's just who Deb is, but she is exceedingly thankful even in the midst of her sickness. She's thankful for the moments that she still has left in this life. She's thankful for the life that she has led. She's thankful for her family. She's thankful for the support of her congregation and her friends. She's thankful for the doctors and the nurses and the others. Just their small gestures of kindness to her. She's so grateful for all of it. She's so very thankful. She's really honest, too. There are times that she's sad and times that she's scared. But she's also extremely thankful for all the ways God has been good to her. So you see, sometimes healing comes even without a cure. And it reminds me of another part of our liturgy, the preface before Holy Communion, where we say, "It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ." Our cries of help eventually lead to cries of thank you. And then there is the wow. The wow comes for us when we hear and realize in our story that Jesus didn't come into this world only to heal a few people physically and then split back to heaven. The wow factor comes for us when we realize that Jesus didn't come to be some kind of traveling dermatologist, healing a few lepers here and there so that they could die of old age instead of leprosy. Jesus came for something much bigger than that. Jesus came to conquer death completely. He came to conquer sin completely. He came to conquer anything and everything that separates us from God so that we could live in right relationship with God now and forever. Jesus came so that we would be made whole. He came so that we would be healed and saved. He came so that we could receive salvation in the deepest sense of that word. The healing of the leprous Samaritan shows that no one is beyond the care and concern of our gracious Heavenly Father. It is a sign of Jesus' greater purpose to bring life and healing and restoration to all people. It is a sign of the greater healing He came to bring. It is a sign of the salvation that He came to bring us through the forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternal life. Jesus has done all of this for you. And your faith in Him makes you well. There's nothing left to say but wow. Amen. invite you now to stand as we sing our hymn of the day. My apologies.